You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di, hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di, hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hey everyone, welcome back to What the Folklore, episode 62. I'm Tyler.
I'm Carmen.
If her brownie noises are in, I want my brownie noises.
I can eat a brownie quietly without calling people idiots.
This is like take four of starting the show because some people are prudes about our audio content.
Because I am witness to the brownie butter battle book happening in front of me.
You had a brownie and I
so
wanted
brownie
one.
Arms race.
I only got half a brownie.
Enough with the brownies.
This
is folklore time.
His name's Gordy. We should move on.
Yeah, his name is Brownie.
I said that before.
Did you?
In one of the earlier takes.
Yeah, but you ruined it with brownies and feet on the recording.
Gordy has become unstuck from the audio.
I'm traveling aimlessly through all past and future recordings. And I don't do two takes. Those are for amateurs.
You just assume that whatever happened before
I do
maintains.
One straight through, one hot take.
It's the Manos Hands of Fate method.
Worked for them.
So, yeah, that's us.
We're recording in a new space. You might be able to tell because the audio might be a little different this time. We apologize in advance. This is only temporary.
It is an echoey space because we've not moved all of our furniture into it.
Correct.
And so the walls are hearing our voices and shouting them back at us.
So what do we do, normally?
I read you guys a tale, a folk tale, from somewhere.
Why do you do that?
God, I don't know. There.
Why do you keep doing it, is my question.
Free will. Also, they tend to be pretty weird. Most of us have heard the Cinderella tale where they cut off the toes and the feet, and, you know, after watching the Disney movie, that seems horrendous, and also, why? But then when you delve into the stuff that Disney hasn't touched
for
very good reasons.
That is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and then suddenly, it seems pretty normal to cut off your heel to fit into a shoe so you can marry a prince. That's logic.
That's day to day.
I wish that was what we were dealing with.
But we're not. We're dealing with the other stories, the stories Disney would not touch.
We're exploring the weird ones and bringing them to you.
And then we are dissecting them through the lens of modern criticism.
Is that what that is that we do?
Yeah.
That's modern criticism?
We're like the Rotten Tomatoes of folklore.
I would say it's like that in that we ask questions about these folk tales without referencing their origin or cultural traditions.
Or doing any research whatsoever.
We just pretend like these people are in a modern story and wonder why they don't act accordingly.
These stories were designed for us.
And we want to share that.
Yep.
So
some of you seem to like it. So, you know.
So thanks for listening and sharing it around and letting us know that you like it. That makes our day. It helps us get through some of the rougher stories.
Do we have some more stories lined up?
Yeah, we've got a few options. So recently we started doing a thing where I just read you guys titles. And
it's very exciting for us.
And the two of you choose your own fate because I've been able to get far enough ahead in my story notes to give you options.
Just enough agency to feel like I'm bringing it upon myself.
Yeah. So I don't want to be blamed anymore.
It's this small moment of a perfect world where everything I think will happen does happen in my head before it's ruined.
That's like when you have a good story idea before you start writing. You're like, yeah, this is going to be great.
This is going to change the world.
I can see it all. And then you put pen to paper and it gets away from you.
And it's Sonic fan fiction.
Inevitably, yes.
Well, we have a few options. I think we can start heading back into Eastern Europe a little bit if we wanted to, because it's been a while.
So, can we not revisit these places because we've upset people there and we're wanted?
It's mostly the bounty posters.
What it feels like is like, oh, we'd better not go back there.
Yeah, we want
to just give, let's wait for it to blow over first.
We want to give them time to forget our faces.
You know how in like games like GTA you get stars when the police are after you?
Yeah.
We're like 5 stars in most of Europe right now.
I'll
let that cool down a little.
I'm just trying to spread out our influence across the world.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, blow our wad in Eastern Europe and then...
Who does?
A client once used that expression at me.
Wait, about Eastern Europe?
No.
Specifically?
No, about ideas for blog posts. Just like professional settings. She said, I just don't want to blow our wad all the beginning. And so now it's
you
stuck in my
to.
Head as a use... an ordinary use expression.
I might have heard that from a sales rep about like the budget for somebody's a client's AdWords account. Like they don't want to like blow their maybe not. Maybe I made that up. My new policy is don't talk to sales ever because they just want things.
That's fair.
All
right. Well, let's lay out our options on the table. We could go to the country of Georgia and read Cinderstick.
That sounds very confusing for me.
Are we there already?
No, we're in the state.
What's that?
The state of Georgia.
Is that like the state of being?
We exist in Georgia. Georgia is us.
The state, yeah, like it's a mindset, isn't it?
Or we could go to Bulgaria and read The Golden Apples and the 9 Peahens.
I do like numbers.
I feel like I've heard a lot about golden apples in the past.
We could also travel to Norway. It's been a little while since we've been there. And read The Three Sisters Who Were Entrapped into a Mountain, which I think was one of the options I gave you guys last week.
Might have been.
I don't remember that one. Trapped into a mountain?
Yep, entrapped into a mountain. We have 2 options for Africa. We've got Unanana and the Elephant from South Africa. And the story of the hero Makoma from Zimbabwe.
Tell me about that one.
The story of the hero Makoma?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear it?
Is it about a hero? A hero who is in a coma?
5 words.
5 words.
Are you not answering my question?
Do you want the?
Maybe.
Do you want the answer to the question?
Did you not say hero? Hero in a coma.
Hero Makoma, no coma here. There's your 5 words.
Hero Makoma?
Yeah.
So he's not conscious.
No coma here.
Is he on life support?
You got your 5 words.
Hero no coma.
Well, I'm kind of worried about this guy, so I might want to read about him.
We can also go to Denmark to read Peter Bull, or ancient Egypt to read The Prince and the Three Fates.
What's going on in Georgia?
Oh, no, Cinderstick.
5 words.
Fate isn't served. Oh, God. I don't remember
2 words.
Story.
Cinderstick. And the Cinderstick. 2 different words.
Tease me anything about this
Ash
story.
Twig.
Hashtag?
I don't know. Let me read it again.
My new metric is deliberately mishearing titles and then judging them based on what I think that would be about.
Male Cinderella. There's your 2 words.
Because I'm not very optimistic about boats in any of these, so I might just abandon that.
It is not a great metric.
It's about time we had a male hero, I think.
What, in culture?
Yeah.
Sick of these women heroes.
Sick of hearing about princesses doing shit on this show.
Didn't we read about a woman last week? Nope. 2 guys.
Specifically 2 men.
What about the week before that? What did we even read?
No, a small man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that barely counts. It's more like, it's closer to a child or a small rodent.
And children don't have gender.
Well, my vote is Cinderstick. Your vote is Tacoma.
I'm leaning Tacoma ways.
Does Gordy's vote count if he's been mispronouncing the name of the hero?
Do you not say
Tacoma? And the story?
Tacoma?
Yeah, it's Makoma.
I said it as a joke.
Hakona?
Kokomo? My Hero Kokomo.
That's a Studio Ghibli movie.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah, that's...
Let's read the Studio Ghibli one. I'm still... If you... Okay, give me another word on Cinderstick, and I might... Cinder... Cinder, whatever.
I do not remember the story. You're going to make me read it again.
Give me a buzzword, like a social media buzzword.
Do you have the story pulled up?
I need a social media buzzword about this story.
Go to Cinderstick and read the word that's in the most middle.
How tweetable is it?
Giants.
Interesting.
All right, I'll go for... I'm still concerned about this other guy, but...
Let's read Tacoma.
Well, let's read Cinderstick.
No, you convinced me.
Let's go.
Why did you do rock, paper, scissors it?
All right, let's go Hakom... Pocomas.
Can you just read us the script of Pocahontas?
Reading Macoma, because that's where I am now, and I'm not going back.
Great, that's the one I voted for.
Was this an elaborate mind game to get Gordy on your side?
Are we still recording?
What?
Are we still recording?
Yeah, I was still going.
Wait, how did you trick me?
I didn't.
Oh.
I just joined your side.
This is about the basketball player, right?
Scottie Pippen.
Dikembe Mutombo? That was a sports reference. It was a basketball reference. You're not going to get many of those, so enjoy that one.
Enjoy them while they last.
Do we want to give ourselves another goal for this one? Like,
what? Oh.
Like, last time we decided we were going to get a Dragon Ball reference in there.
Well, we definitely succeeded. 100%.
Is that a thing? Like, is that a KPI that we want to maintain?
What other things do we like?
Well, I'm worried about putting it in a box because I like playing it fast and loose,
right?
And hard and heavy and unpredictable.
Yeah, that is the style of the show.
Like the boys in the Fast and Furious movies,
mm-hmm.
on which I base my life. So
our show is like a sweet car that does cool jumps.
It's like a stunt car,
right into your ears,
driven by Mr. Vin P. Diesel.
Patrick.
Vin Patrick Diesel.
God, this is confusing, Google.
I'd really like it if his first name was Vin Patrick. I like that name. What are you looking for?
Like the Aaron Thompson and stuff for the Hero Macoma? It's confusing the crap out of Google. It's giving me the Aaron Thompson, like the whole database, which is typical when no one's written anything about it.
Sounds so much like you're saying Hero in the Coma.
And then it gives me the Wikipedia article talking about the Arne Thompson classification system. Then the Grateful Dead Folk Tales of Type 505, which
what?
This is not.
Whoa. Read that one.
I don't have one.
Let's read The Grateful Dead.
I don't have a folk tale of that type set.
Arne Thompson type Jerry Garcia.
Then we have an actual article on the story of the Hero Macoma, but I don't think that's...
You get them every time.
That's telling me anything. And then we have Welcome to Gay Baby Jail.
Whoa.
From toottootmcscoot.tumblr.com.
I think that's a rabbit hole that I...
And then we start getting into other languages. All right, for Arne Thompson types, I was pretty sure I would find something in the... Tales of the Stupid Ogre, but it looks like the closest, from what I know, which is not a lot, is Arne Thompson type 513, The Extraordinary Companions.
Seems reasonable.
And probably 513A, The Wonderful Helpers. Alright,
yeah,
let's read it.
Let's begin.
We have a bag of guesses and inferences.
Let's see how close we've gotten.
Story of the Hero Macoma. Macoma.
Sorry, what?
Who's coma?
I hate both of you. I haven't even started.
Can you get glaucoma from somebody? Or do you just pick that up in the wild?
How is that heroic?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out in this story about the hero glaucoma. Let's go. It seems weird to cast a disease in that light.
Once in a town in Sinna, on the banks of the Zambezi, was born a child not like other children. He was born very tall.
8 legs. So it was a Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was not a Spider-Man, but he was very tall and strong. And over his shoulder, he carried a big sack, and in his hand, he carried an iron hammer.
You sure he's not a spider of some kind?
Pretty sure, although I think this big... is implying that he was born with this sack and this hammer.
Wait, did he actually have eight legs?
No.
Okay, I forgot.
So
this is 5 seconds ago.
So on the day that this man baby was born, the doctor says, here comes the head, and there's the sack. And there's the iron hammer. And there's his very, very long legs.
They're still
you have a boy.
Let me just stack all this in the corner for you. Here's your hospital bill.
The child could speak like a grown man, but was usually silent.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, as
a
man,
the best kind of kid.
A man of few words, or a child of few words, which is even better.
Child of few words who comes with his own hammer.
That seems like a good system. Like, you just had a baby. Here's some stuff. You might need some things.
Yeah, you'll need the sack and this hammer.
They do that in Finland.
Do they?
It's a baby box.
That's
basically
nice.
Like, here's a box that you're... I mean, I say box, but like, thing your kid can sleep in. It's full of like diapers and formula and stuff. Just like, here you go.
Man.
Congrats, / I'm sorry.
That's so different from America, when it's like, we expect you to bring this baby to term and then get back to work.
It's like, see you on Monday,
see
Linda.
You in the afternoon. Be back before your lunch is over.
One day, his mother asked, by what name shall we know you?
The
like,
baby?
Yeah.
Like, you seem to know what you're about, little guy.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure I'm qualified to name you. And the child answered, call all of the headmen of the Sinna to the river's bank. So, hey, by the way, unusually adult child, what should we call you? I'm pretty sure you're not an ordinary baby, so I'm not going to presume. I thought Jack would be a good name, but...
Do you like that?
Is that... Call all the headmen to the river. Okay. Okay.
Consider it done.
It does not answer the question I asked, but you do have a hammer, so...
I mean, he is a few words. I'm sure he just wants to tell everyone at once.
That's fair.
And just get it out of the way.
So his mother did call all the headmen to the river's bank, and when they had come, he led them all to a deep black pool where the fierce crocodiles lived. And he turns to them and he says, oh, great men, which of you will leap into this pool and overcome the crocodiles?
He is not answering the question.
Yeah, at this point, he is very much avoiding the question.
Yeah, he just threw down crocodile wrestling as an alternative to giving his name. None of the men answered him, probably confused. Like,
why are we doing any of this?
We were called by this... probably not very important woman to come out of our villages.
And her weirdly mustachioed son.
and
I'm imagining just like, he's really tall though, isn't he?
Yep.
I was kind of imagining just like a really short 40-year-old, but it's not what was described.
No, this is like a really tall, muscular... The guy with a baby face, I guess.
Oh, I like that too. All right.
I could work with that.
He was born a child, not like other children, very tall and strong. So he's like a big muscle guy with like an infant face going on, who can speak like an adult. So when no one answered him, he dived into the pool himself. And all the people there thought that this boy had to be either bewitched or just plain suicidal. But then the ground trembled beneath them, and the dark pool became red with blood. And the boy swam ashore, now stronger than any man, very tall and handsome. And the people shouted with gladness when they saw him.
What?
Whoa.
He entered the pool of crocodiles, a pretty strong, very tall boy
baby.
Child. And he emerged a man.
Whoa.
Somehow taller and stronger.
Yes.
Why don't we do that here?
Seemed like a pretty good system. Just throw him to the crocodiles and... then they grow up faster. So they shout with gladness when they saw him, and he says to them, now, O my people, you know my name.
And someone in the back raises their hand and says, no we don't.
That's super boss.
I am Makoma, the greater. For have I not slain all the crocodiles in the pool where none of you would venture?
Is there a lesser Hakuna?
No. I think Makoma might mean the greater.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure. I should look this up if I was professional, but I've already confused Google once, and I don't want to know if rabbit hole will take me down again.
What kind of world is this where a baby comes out and then the next day is just like lording over everyone saying, you work for me now?
they lost control.
Yeah.
Real fast.
I punched the crocodiles. Now I run this town.
Is that why that pool is there?
For testing people?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why else is it there. Is that just what it's zoned for?
I would assume it's there because nature and the crocodiles adopted it as a place to live. Not like,
foolishly.
Not like a snake pit that was dug underneath a window for the purpose of throwing discarded children.
So it wasn't a feature that was installed?
Yeah, I don't think
a water feature of some kind.
I don't think the villagers decided that they wanted a crocodile pond for... For atmosphere.
I'm gonna start a landscaping company that specializes in crocodile-infested water features.
Hazards, mostly.
Water hazards, I like that. That'd be a good company.
Yeah.
It's too bad that there'd be no demand, but...
I don't know, you could market yourself as giving the experience of living in Florida to people not in Florida. After giving everyone his name, he tells his mother to rest gently because it's time for him to go make a home for himself and become a hero. So, it's like...
Has he not done that already?
Thanks for raising me, Mom, since yesterday.
I mean, it may have been a week or so.
Goodbye.
I don't know how long she was living with this man-infant... Without a name.
She flips through a 2-page scrapbook of memories. This baby with a hammer came out of me, beat some crocodiles to death, and then left home. Sure grow up fast.
Does he take his hammer and his bag of flour or whatever with him?
He grabs Nuendo, the iron hammer, and takes his sack over his shoulder and goes away. So yes, literally next sentence he does this.
What is it an innuendo for?
Do I have permission to just ignore... all things Gordy-esque.
Why are you asking me? I have no power.
I'm gonna ignore most of what comes out of Gordy's mouth.
Is this a Captain Hammer situation?
You, the listener, can answer his questions in this new interactive picture.
Shout back at your iPod to seek Gordy's curiosities.
This is my new children's program. Help, I'm not listening to this show. Someone fill me in.
Tell Gordy where the clues are.
That'd be a good version of Blue's Clues.
It's a podcast where we can't hear them.
A Steve who just is not paying attention. And the children are trying so desperately and he's just like, what?
Huh? Yeah,
oh,
what?
Okay.
You do it. I'm doing things.
If you're so smart, why don't you find the clues, kids? You get up.
You do it. I'm going to eat a brownie.
I'm busy. I'm going raiding with my guild.
Makoma crosses the Zambezi and wanders for many moons until he comes to a hilly country where he meets a huge giant who's making mountains.
Just making them.
Making mountains.
Out of?
Rock? Clay? Craft paper?
Where'd that come from if not mountains?
And what animal are they caused by?
Chicken or egg, giant. Tell me your secrets.
Maybe it's just digging up the earth and making it mountain-sized.
Sort of making it pointy.
This is the sign of a world in good working order.
Yeah?
It's nice and orderly. Someone official is appointed to do this.
Presumably.
No, there's none of this random plate tectonics making mountains where it's not appropriate.
This is Gordy's lawful chaotic alignment going at.
Who between the two of them are gianter?
The giant is the gianter.
For how long, though?
What if he's
like between Makoma and the giant?
Yeah. Like, how many pools does this kid have to get in before he's as giant as a giant?
I mean, he's tall and strong, but I don't think he classifies as a giant.
But he was taller and stronger after exiting the pool.
Yeah, but I don't think giant levels.
You're saying if he chains some pools together,
yeah,
we could
get some height on this kid.
We get kind of a Power Rangers like end of episode just situation
sort of,
happening.
Just sort of zord that dude up.
I have not gotten very far in the story, you guys.
Is it long?
It's getting there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, giant does things. Next.
Makoma shouts his greetings and asks who the giant is, and the giant says, I am Chieswa Mapiri. Apologize terribly to anyone speaking the language that I just butchered. Who makes the mountains, and who are you? And he says, I am Makoma, which signifies greater.
Mm-hmm.
And the giant says, greater than who?
Good for you.
And Makoma says, greater than you. And the giant takes offense to this and rushes him with a roar. Makoma says nothing and strikes the great hammer on the giant's head. The giant is hit so hard that he shrank into a little man who fell on his knees, saying, no, you are greater. Take me with you to be your slave.
Whoa.
What?
His hammer just shrinks this guy down to a little man.
Like an accordion? Or what?
I guess.
If this guy wasn't so cool, I would say that this sounds like... This sounds like... I don't know if you ever played text-only RPGs when you were in middle school where you, like, make a character and make posts on forums.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds like a certain class of player who's just like, my guy's the best.
Yeah.
At everything. What are you doing? I hit you with my hammer.
And now you're tiny.
And now you're my slave.
Yeah, definitely.
A Larry Stew, if you will.
In a manner of speaking.
So Makoma picks this guy up and puts him into the sack. And
good thing he had that sack.
Yeah. And now Makoma is greater than ever because all the giant's strength had gone into him.
Did he gain size again?
Oh no, I mean, greater could be greater in size. He's definitely stronger. He's got the strength of one mountain-making giant on top of the strength he already had to turn a mountain-making giant into a tiny accordion man.
I'm very suspicious of the properties of both this man and his hammer, and I have some theories, or not theories, but I have some questions for later, I think.
He wanders along until he comes to another giant who's busy making riverbeds, and this giant's name is Chidubala Taka. They do that name exchange and the whole greater than you brag and the rushing, and the hammer once again shrinks this giant. Whole slave conversation steals the strength. The little guy goes into the sack.
So, this doesn't sound heroic to me.
And he's going around bullying giants who are just busy doing their job.
Bullying giants who are doing their jobs who then cannot do those jobs any longer. And it didn't sound like they were done doing those jobs.
That's true, and this guy is not offering to take over or appoint anyone in their place.
So I guess if you ever come across a landscape that seems half-finished, it's this guy's fault. Now Makoma had the power of both the giants, and he wanders along until he comes across a forest of incredible-sized baobabs and thorn trees. The giant Chigwisamiti was planting the forest as food for his children, the elephants. Makoma challenges him to a fight. The giant throws a baobab at him, but Makoma springs aside and whirls Nuendo the hammer, felling the giant with one blow. So now Makoma's just, like, goading people to fight him. Just saying, I'm the greater, and then having the giant rush him. He's like, hey, you planting food for your children.
He's tasted blood now, and he needs more.
Yeah, just to feel alive anymore. This giant begged Makoma to take him on as a servant, and Makoma adds him to the sack. I don't think fulfills the desire of these people at all.
Are there complaints coming from the sack at this point?
This is what I meant.
It's getting a little crowded in there.
He wanders on until he reaches a barren country, and in the midst of this country, he sees a man eating fire. He asks, what are you doing? And the man says, I'm eating fire. Also, I am Chi Idea Moto, the flame spirit, who can waste and destroy whatever I want. Makoma says, well, I'm Makoma, and that means I'm greater than you. And they fight with fire and hammer, and he wins, and adds the fire giant to the sack.
I'm starting to think that this is just unbalanced design.
Kind of. Like,
hammer type is just too good against...
All type?
Every type. He needs to have a weakness.
Well, now Makoma is a great hero because he has the strength to make hills, the industry to lead a river over dry wastes, the wisdom and foresight to plant trees. These are the things he stole from these people.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of producing fire whenever he wanted.
So he's just Earth. He's just the planet Earth now.
Yeah, he's a wandering Gaia. He comes one day to a great plain that's full of game, close to a river, and is, all in all, a pleasant place to make a home. He's so delighted that he sits under a large tree, empties his sack of giants, and tells them, "We're gonna build a village here."
All right, idiots.
Get out, ding-dongs.
Time to work.
So, I guess just lets them rest for the night, because we skip to the next morning, where everyone goes out to get poles for the buildings. Leaving Chieswim and Puri to look after the place and cook the venison while they're hunting for these poles. In the evening, they return to find this giant helpless and tied to a tree by one enormous hare.
Just a mean bunny?
Nope, hare is in the kind on your head.
What?
Yep, he's tied up with a single enormous hare.
Oh, he's tied up with it.
Yeah.
I thought it was sentient. And mocking him.
No, he's tied to the tree with this.
Gotcha.
Makoma asks, "How did this happen?" And Chieswa Mapiri says, "At midday, a man came out of the river. He was immense in stature, and he had a gray mustache with hair so long that I couldn't see the end of them. He demanded to know my master, and when I answered Makoma, greatest of heroes, he tied me to the tree with one of his mustache hairs."
So he didn't like that, I guess.
Yeah.
So he has a challenger.
Makoma is angry, but says nothing. And he cuts the single hair, which was as thick and strong as palm rope, with one of his fingernails.
It's a weird power.
So, I don't know if he sharpened his fingernails, or... seems dangerous to have, like, cut those.
Yeah.
On the three following days, the exact same thing happened with one of the other giants. And on the fourth day, Makoma stayed behind to see for himself who this river guy who keeps tying his people up with mustache hairs might be. When the giants were gone, he swept and tidied the camp and roasted the venison. Around midday, the riverman shows up with his giant gray mustache. Makoma introduces himself and says, "Before I slay you, tell me your name and what you're doing in the river." This giant says that his name is Chindobo Magiri. And his home is in the river because his mustache is the gray fever mist that hangs above the water, which he uses to bind all of those who come unto me so that they die.
Okay.
So I guess this gray mist is, like, a problem.
And it's his mustache.
It's his mustache.
That's kind of cool.
Makoma shouts, "You cannot bind me!" and rushes and strikes him with a hammer. But the river giant was so slimy that the blow slid harmlessly off his green chest. The giant swung a long hair and tripped Makoma up.
So now we've found it. We've found the counter type. That's
just
slime mustache type.
Fever mist.
For a moment, Makoma is helpless, but he used the power of the flame spirit to cut himself free from the mustache hair. So he just breathed fire on it. The giant leaned forward to grab him, and Makoma flung his sack over the giant's slippery head and struck him with an iron hammer, and the giant died.
Well, sort of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Like, we were sort of getting into a real scuffle there.
Yeah.
And then it just ended.
We have a lot of other powers to go through.
Yeah.
Well, it was just that one cool power.
Okay.
He didn't make mountains.
Nope.
At this guy.
Or rivers or trees. He just made fire. The four other giants returned to camp and rejoiced to find that Makoma had overcome the fever spirit, and they feasted on roast venison in celebration. In the morning when they awoke, Makoma was already warming his hands at the fire, and his face was gloomy. He told his friends that in the darkness of the night, white spirits of his fathers had come and said he won't have any rest until he has found and fought Sakaturina, who has 5 heads and is very great and strong. So,
Makoma won't have any rest.
Okay. I kind of thought they were going to tell him, "Quit killing all these people. They didn't do anything to you, and also we need them."
Nope, they said,
"Kill them up."
They said, "Keep on at it. Keep going. You're not there yet.
Don't even rest. You gotta do that." These spirits also tell him that he has to take leave of his friends and has to face this thing alone.
What?
I'm sure that concerns him greatly.
What friends?
The slaves.
Okay.
That's like the same thing, right?
Basically.
I was going to say, they keep saying friends, but I think that means people he hit and then put in a bag.
His Stockholm Syndrome friends are sad to hear this, but Makoma comforted them and returned to each of them the gifts he had taken from them.
He doesn't want
doesn't
those.
Doesn't he need them?
To go fight the guy?
I guess he doesn't think so.
Yeah, he used the fire one, and that was the most badass, so... Like, I don't plan to plant trees anymore.
This is boring now.
You have this.
And he's dumping all the Pokemon he caught early.
Yeah. So he says his goodbyes and heads off. He travels far to the west over rough mountains and a bunch of other stuff. Goes across dry deserts where most men would have died. And goes to a hut standing near the large peaks, inside of which were two beautiful women. The hero asks the women in this hut if this is the country of Sekaterina of Five Heads, and the women say, yeah, we're his wives, and also, there he is. And they pointed to what Makoma thought were two tall mountain peaks, but they had told him that those are his legs, and his body is hidden in the clouds. Makoma is astonished at the height of this particular giant, but he is not daunted. He hits one of the legs with his hammer.
It's kind of all he's got.
Yep.
He's not wishing that he had kept those powers.
Does not appear to have any regrets whatsoever in his life.
Ever.
Nothing happens, so he keeps hitting the foot with his hammer until a tired, faraway voice asks who's scratching his feet.
Stop it.
Makoma shouts as loud as he can that he's Makoma, who is called Greater by himself, really.
Mm-hmm.
There is no answer, so he grabs all the dead brushwood and trees he could find and lights a fire at the feet of this giant. The giant asks, who is it making a fire at my feet? And Makoma repeats his name and tells him about the onus laid on him by the spirits of his fathers. There's some silence, and then the giant speaks softly that it's good that he's come to fight him because he, the giant, has grown weary. There is no man as great as he, and he is all alone. So guard yourself, we're fighting now. So
I'll show you my true form.
So depressed, lonely giant bends and grabs the hero in his hands and dashes him upon the ground. But instead of death, Makoma found life and sprang to his feet, mightier in strength and stature than before. So giant hits him on the ground and he gets stronger.
He's into it.
Yep. He gripped the giant by the waist, so apparently he's big enough now to do this. And they wrestled for hours. Mountains rolled beneath their feet like pebbles in a flood, and they beat each other with mountains and hammers, but neither could get the best of the other.
How many civilizations are destroyed in this fight?
Like most of them? Probably most of them.
What kind of crazy turmoil is happening to the landscape?
This is how the Sahara was made.
Yeah. Everyone else is dead.
Yeah,
yeah.
They have to be.
This is the end of Man of Steel. Come at me, Zack Snyder. You made a bad movie.
On the second day, they grappled each other so strongly that neither could break away. And when the sun was sinking, they fell together insensible to the ground. Just exhausted from this 24-hour grapple. In the morning, when they both awoke, Malimo, the Great Spirit, was standing by them.
What is that?
Is it greater than both
of
them?
Yeah, it's like super powerful spirit.
It's greater than the Giant Man and Hakoda of the Water Tribe.
Some kind of Great Spirit shows up and says, "You guys are heroes so great that no man may come against you. So it's probably time for you two to leave the world and live with me in the clouds."
They're being put in timeout.
Yeah. They're being grabbed by the scruffs of their necks and removed from the planet.
It's like, okay, you're both big shots.
As he spoke, the heroes became invisible to the people of Earth and were no longer seen among them. The end.
So they just got...
What the hell happened at the end there?
Just got stealth-jacked. Leaving a lot of very confused people who were sure that they had definitely met somebody named Lacuna Coil.
The hero of South Dakota.
The metal band, I think. If that's... Isn't that a metal band? Lacuna Coil?
Yeah, probably.
If it's not, I'm starting a metal band called Lacuna Coil.
The hero, baking soda.
What?
Yeah, the story's over. We should go to discussion. thoughts, questions?
What kind of righteous sex had to happen to make this dude? Like, what conditions did that have to be under to make this monster baby?
A father is never mentioned, so I don't know if this is an Immaculate Conception situation or...
Maybe. The planet itself?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she just, like, climbed on top of a mountain and then was pregnant, like, during a thunderstorm.
Yeah, she got struck by lightning and the next day gave birth to a full-grown man.
To a man holding a hammer.
That had to be a shitty-ass pregnancy, though.
Yeah, I don't think you want a hammer coming out.
That had to hurt, and even just the carrying the baby had to be... That's a full-grown man.
Especially if every time he hit you, you shrank.
And he got bigger. every time the baby kicked, he just stretched that womb out.
Alien style. And then hammering her back together.
I'm imagining a pretty big hammer, too.
I would assume.
It's not like a ball peen hammer.
Yeah, I'm imagining like...
It's like a sledgehammer.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Or a war hammer.
Right. That he's bonking people in the heads with.
Yeah, this is like the worst little bunny foo-foo.
Does anybody else get to do this? Like, can anyone... do that and he's just the one who did it?
Can anyone like use this magic hammer? Or
well, like if someone else had dove into the crocodile pond and just torn them apart, would they have gotten the same benefit?
I don't know.
Or is he just the one who was capable?
It's hard to say because he started out at an advantage already.
Right.
Yeah.
Like obviously supernatural forces involved in his birth.
We can't tell where the power source derives from.
Is it from,
originates?
Is it from the hammer? Is it from within? And if he only looks inside himself, he'll find it there?
Did if the crocodile pit matter, or was it just an end to his means? Or a mean to his ends?
He seems to suck in the strength of the things that he hits with his hammer.
So he was a croco man?
Yeah, so he had the strength of a pit of crocodiles coming out, which is not an insignificant amount of
strength.
Apparently
stronger than a mountain-making giant.
He is the blob.
We don't know how many crocodiles were in there, and with each successive crocodile he hammered to death, he got its strength to use against the other crocodiles.
The crocodiles. So which crocodile went down first? Because that's the one to blame.
like the one
that started the chain.
Yeah.
Old granny crocodile, like missing some teeth. It's like, oh, Sonny, I'm just gonna hang out in this water pit. I can't hardly see any. What is this?
Now all crocodiles in the world curse her in hell.
Yeah.
For bestowing on this man crocodile strength.
Well, at least all crocodiles who used to inhabit this water pit.
Yes.
So, like, with any other man, it would only take one crocodile to destroy their day. But for this guy, he only needs one crocodile to have crocodile strength to take on a second crocodile.
He's looking for the first link in the chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, if,
of his power-ups.
As soon as that combo starts, he's got the rest of the crocodiles stun-locked, basically. They're not getting out alive.
Oh yeah, I think this would be a situation where he is the only person who can do this because he has got some kind of weird conduit with this hammer.
Hmm.
This vampire hammer that sucks the strength out of the things it hits.
So a very skilled ordinary man could not draw the same strength.
Probably not.
Do you think the storyteller was on a time limit when they were telling the story? Because they started to tell that really cool fight scene, and then they just sort of wrapped it up.
You think that's when the editor knocked on the door?
Like, yeah. These kids have to go to bed soon.
Yeah.
Wrap up the story.
It was originally an oral tale, so memory, I guess. Length of memory might affect it.
What happened after the fire? I don't know. He bonks him. He wins. We got other stuff to cover.
Just a hammer hit. It got the sack around his slimy head, so the slimy doesn't matter anymore. Hooray! We don't need the other things. The other powers from the giants were a lot more metaphorical. Like, fire was a thing he could make, but he had the strength to make mountains, not necessarily the instruction manual to make mountains.
Couldn't just slam his foot down and have a mountain appear.
Right. He wasn't an earthbender. He was just strong enough to form a mountain. He had the foresight to plant trees, but he wasn't going to use it for tree planting. He just had foresight.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't
right.
have the foresight.
How far did they get with that village?
They got 4 days into building it, which is not very far. Before they give up
but,
on the village because some ghost came and was like,
if he has,
kill this other guy.
If he has like the strength to make mountains and stuff, can he not knock out a village in 4 days?
I mean, strength and efficiency are different
but
things.
But he's got the giant slaves with him.
I know,
who
but...
do know how to do that stuff.
I mean, think about how long it takes just to build an ordinary house. And it's not just because it takes a while to carry stuff. Like, you have to do all the building stuff, and being strong doesn't make that go faster. Not significantly.
Do you think they carried on in his stead?
I don't. Maybe they got their stuff back and they went back to their ordinary lives.
Let's bail on this place. Tear this shit to
the
ground.
What was
the
village?
We got jobs to do.
Who or what was the village for?
Him. I had a lot of game.
He just decides, like, yeah, village, here.
Get to work.
Who's going to live there?
I mean, he said to his mom he was off to make a home for himself and be a hero. And he had accomplished the hero thing, I guess. By destroying these giants who were very busy doing their own thing and not terrorizing anybody. But if you define hero as just guy with strength and weird powers, achievement unlocked. So I guess he was just trying to do the make a home for himself, but ain't no way he's bunking with these guys. He's gotta give them some houses too. And also, you know, if you build it, they will come. He needs some lady folk to choose wives from.
Gonna
Makes
say,
sense.
This might be a Field of Dreams scenario where he just has to put some flashy signs up and see who wanders by. He can knock some women out with his hammer and capture them. Create a whole race of super strong croco boys.
I am still curious why he is considered a hero. He did not do anything good.
But he was many strengths.
Sure.
I mean...
He did cool stuff.
He seemed scary and dangerous and belligerent.
That does define...
Until he became invisible. Which makes him scarier.
It does define a lot of heroes in our culture, though. Like, a lot of the time, the problems they solve are problems that exist because they're there.
Yeah.
Like, Superman...
Sure.
...kind of attracts the major
nastiness.
Alien dangers...
But this guy specifically sought out innocent giants.
Yeah, he's Little Bunny Foo-Foo with a big hammer. That's what this story is. I'm surprised that's not an Arn Thompson type.
I just don't see why we tell a story about him. What in his life merits remembering if he became invisible to save us from him?
From the story... like, it describes him as being a great hero because he has all of the strength.
Yeah.
So it sounds as though the storyteller defines hero as someone with supernatural abilities, not someone with good intentions or helpful actions or pure spirit. It's just someone who can bonk things that are bigger than him.
But this story is intended to be a model for children, rather than a cautionary tale of don't be like this guy or you're gonna get abruptly whisked away.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like this story took place in about a week and a half.
It does sound
start
like
to
that.
Finish.
Like...
I think the wandering probably took a while longer, but nothing terribly interesting happened between accordion giant action.
This seems like it was just... like, every 30 minutes, he rolled up on a new giant.
I think he actually wanders for a few days in between each giant.
Okay. I mean, so it took place over a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's not a terribly long...
His life story is
Although,
a month
the
terror.
The wandering from the giant camp after he fought Mustache Guy,
mm-hmm.
I think that one took a long, long time. Because he was going over mountains and deserts and things. Like he traveled across landscapes.
Like a couple weeks?
I think it takes maybe a little longer than that.
How long?
Months to years.
Specifically.
Gordy, Google Maps it. Walking tours, Zimbabwe, across, I don't know, look for deserts and mountains and stuff and end somewhere there.
Can look that up.
Yeah, and then you answer it. But I don't think this would have been a story that spanned, like, a decade or anything.
No, it doesn't sound like it lasted a whole year.
It's possible with
it. If he can do all that, I feel like walking places is a pretty achievable thing for him.
I mean, he does it. It's achievable. I don't know that he can walk at superhuman pace, though.
Yeah, he can.
Because that doesn't really equate to strength so
much.
Yeah,
he can. He could have taken a boat somewhere in there.
Probably. At least a land boat.
He didn't cross the Zambezi.
Yeah, there's a river. There's a pond. They could have had a boat for that pond.
I just want to reiterate that cradle to grave for this guy, or not grave, but spirit world, was like probably less than a year. And the entire time, he was a danger to pretty much everyone around him if they looked at him funny or crossed him.
I hero in this context appears to just be pure strength. And if you're living...
That's the hero life. It's just beating down challengers wherever they appear.
Right. And
wherever you place them.
If you're living in a location where there's a pit of crocodiles in your backyard just because that's a feature of the landscape, then maybe that's what it takes to be a hero. Like, you don't have room for psychopaths because everyone's just fighting crocodiles.
Sure. I do like that he kind of, like, did a mic drop with crocodile bones. Like, now you know my name.
Pretty much. Don't you ever ask me a question again.
Now I'm leaving this town and I'm making my own home where no one will question me.
I'm not sure that I have other questions.
You definitely seem to like that ending.
It came out of nowhere.
Like, mid-fight, some spirit guy's like, okay, guys. Alright, that's good. You're invisible now.
Mid-fight, a celestial being comes and grabs them both by the ear. Says, like, let's get out of here before you burn this whole place to the ground.
Well, it wasn't even chastising. It's like, awesome! Great fight, guys. You guys are just so cool. You are too cool for this place. You're invisible now.
It seemed harried.
Come on up to the next one.
Like, oh geez, we need to fix this before it ends in tragedy.
Is this Toy Story?
What?
And this is about, like, a kid playing with his toys. And this is what he's acting out. And then he's just like, okay, toys, good job. Now we're done. You fought real good. And he pops them back out of their fantasy world.
This is the prequel to Toy Story, where Woody beats the shit out of all the other toys to become head toy.
Woody murders Buzz with a hammer and takes his powers, and then Andy pulls him into an alternate reality.
Let's go over here now.
Yeah, this does actually make a lot more sense if you think about it as a kid playing with their toys, because that would explain the, I'm the best of everything. Bam, hammer blow, you're tiny now, you're my slave. Go into the sack that I'm going to carry around.
That's a kid game if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
It's like, you lose, I killed you, now you have to get in the bag. Those are the rules.
Sorry.
I got you fair and square. That might be casting, like, seeing this in a little bit of a culture-dependent light, but I'm going to stick to it.
I mean, from the lens of modern criticism, the closest thing we have to this story set up in modern day is
apparently Toy Story.
Well, no, it's the forum posting where there's the one guy who just, he wants to be the coolest, and he doesn't get how to make a character who's balanced and interesting to play. He's just the biggest and the strongest and the best, and everybody loses.
And in the end, the moderator has to be like, okay, you're the coolest, we know.
Now you're banned.
Now come into the super cool best boy club.
Yep. Forum ban. For him and the other guy exactly like him. they were fighting, and both of them were just, and I was the best, and I got this. But no, actually, my blaster cannon defeated that.
These are people who don't know how to yes and.
Yeah, basically. And that this was just a week-long forum fight that everyone else stayed out of, and it ruined, like, they threw the mountains of the world that this group of hopeful writers created. These two people traipsed into, and like, we're the best and the biggest. And then, yeah, moderator
came down with the ban hammer.
_ Malimo, moderator of the forum, shows up.
Who?
Malimo is the name of this. Is the name of the spirit?
Malimu.
Mulimo. Yeah, I don't
Never
know.
Never mind.
What are you referencing?
Is that his name?
Nope.
Molyneux?
Yep.
Molyneux with an N.
Mm-hmm.
Then pretend like I said Molyneux? Peter? Is it Peter Molyneux?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
He's a dick.
I live in the long ago pop culture. What are you guys talking about?
Abel's dead now anyway. Nobody cares anymore.
He thinks he makes cool games, but he doesn't.
Oh, Fable. That the two-player in that sucked. My mom and I tried to play that
like
together.
Peter Molyneux's whole deal is like, yeah, this game's going to be the best. And then it's underwhelming. And he's like, no, guys, but this next one.
What do you think the spirit's whole thing was with you have to fight this guy with the five heads, which wasn't mentioned in his character description during the wrestling at all, or came into it?
Well, they had already mentioned it.
Yeah.
It didn't bear repeating, apparently.
Well, it just didn't affect how he fought.
Maybe
apparently.
He was just trying to get him killed.
But it's like these spirits show up and they're like, you can't rest till you do this. This guy's just standing there.
Did he try?
He's just standing there bored and sad and sick of life.
Did he try to rest or did he just take their word for it?
Who's bored?
The giant with the five heads that he had to fight. Couldn't rest until he defeated.
Well, let's give him an exciting motivation. He's an alcoholic. And his wives are going to leave him. Unless he gets into something else, like fighting.
I mean, he is, like, semi...
His wives are sexually attracted to danger.
All five of them.
You know, that's...
One for each head.
Now you've got a story cooking.
This is story tutorial with Gordy. The joy of storytelling. If you drop it on the floor, just pick it up. No one will know.
Is that not what we're doing
here? What is the five-headed man's call to adventure?
Wait,
who was his mentor?
He was exhausted. That was his thing. That was his shtick when the guy showed up. He's like, oh, good. I'm glad someone's challenging me to fight because I am so tired of living. But this doesn't seem like a clear and present danger or like the spirits of his father like, yeah, this guy, he done screwed us up in the past. So vengeance to... We sent you to be born to get rid of him, because vengeance? It's just like, no, there's this tired guy.
Can we be sure that that wasn't just a hallucination?
What if this five-headed giant guy is his father? And,
whoa.
And created him as
see,
the means to his own destruction.
See, that's a twist. If this was 1976, and Star Wars hadn't come out yet.
Right. Well... I mean, like, made this kid specifically to have someone with whom he could fight and then escape the world. Because he's tired.
Children
at the end,
experiments.
when
Tell me more.
Now I'm back in.
When Makoma shows up, he's tired. He's ready to be done with everything. But he's not going to go out without a fight because
yeah.
He's got a reputation to maintain. And he knows, like, he needs to go down fighting to keep the good story alive of his life, and so he had to create a hero strong enough to defeat him so that it could all be over and he could save his name and there'd be good stories told about it. So he got this lady pregnant because he's a giant tall giant.
How?
Guy. Artificial insemination.
Let's hope.
His wives are normal people sized, so it works out somehow. Maybe you're giant and everywhere but the junk.
We'll still take very careful aim.
During the pregnancy, he played like some baby geniuses tapes, like baby Einstein tapes, to put the idea of like seeking strength into this baby man's mind.
Oh, I have a horrifying thought.
Did he incept him in the wound? The womb, not the wound.
It would be a wound.
What?
It will soon be a wound for that poor woman.
What's your thought?
I apologize in advance for this, but like if the giant went about this the normal way, it would leave some space to like stick a hammer up in there.
It would leave more space than that, I think.
Right, but that's how the hammer could get up there.
Tie it around his winky and leave it up in there?
Like a hammer stork dongle.
like, there you go, wife, and while I'm at it, just save this for later. You just keep
this
that
is,
up in
this
there.
This is for my son.
I guess just do it in one go.
I mean, yeah, if you gotta.
So, does that mean that the bag the boy was carrying was the condom the giant assured her he was using?
Okay. this is no longer rated T.
I think let's just switch to an R-rated episode. We should put that in the disclaimer if you keep any of this.
Explicit means explicit.
M for mature.
I mean, we've been pretty PG-13 up until this point. It's mostly just been language as we react horrified.
Why is what I said worse than tying a hammer to his winky?
Because I used a euphemism. All right.
He used a cutesy word to make it better. Have we discussed this into the ground?
Yeah, I don't have any other ground that I care to tread.
Yeah, we've got the origins of the hero and also why he has to kill this guy.
That's all we need, really.
And everything else is just filler, him and this vampire hammer.
Yeah, the middle part just doesn't matter.
I don't even want to crack open, like, why the hammer does what it does. I'm just gonna let that one go.
This is just a magic vampire hammer.
Yeah, that's good enough.
How it was made.
Well, think we wrap that one up.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, and left the ending was more uncomfortable than it started. We've made it a lot weirder.
If you like this, make someone listen to it. One person.
Tie them to a tree with a mustache hair and play it.
Pay it forward. 2016 ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Lou Gehrig's disease.
Ash twig.
Burning 2016. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do we just let him keep talking?
Yeah. I think he's still got characters left. I wasn't keeping count.
Was that a tweet that I was composing?
That was a hashtag you were composing.
You used hashtags anywhere.
There is a blog. There will be more content on it soon.
Yeah, we're sorry we haven't kept up with that very well, but, you know, moving and pre-moving preparations. And also, I taught a spring break camp with 45 kids, and that took some prep.
If you feel like this show warrants a tip, we have a Patreon account as well, which is linked on Twitter and on Facebook.
And thank you very much to the generous donors who have already contributed to our Patreon account. We are very grateful for you.
Absolutely.
It helps us a lot to cover our hosting costs and things like that.
It definitely does.
I think that'll do it for us this week.
Are we free?
We are free.
All right. GG.
Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, 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 happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com /WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.